Rundown Nation. Welcome to the College Football Rundown. I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
Welcome to week three. We got some good spreads this week, some close tight spreads, Walt, throughout college football. We still got some lopsided ones, but there's a lot of tight games here this week.
Yeah, we're getting, you know, closer to the conference games starting. We got some conference games starting already for that matter, but you know, that's when the spreads get tighter, the competition becomes more equal, and obviously that what equates to tighter spreads.
All right, let's talk a little bit about DraftKings League for last week. Story 11351 won with 153.98 points. Well, he beat us all, and he had Brock Purdy on his team who scored 2.62 points. What was he thinking playing Brock Purdy in the Iowa's D-Wall? Was he sleeping in the game against Indiana?
He must have missed the rundown, I'll tell you that much, Woj. I mean, the fact of the matter is he won, though, so who are we to criticize him, Woj?
Yeah, he had a good stack. He had a Max student, or Dugan, and Quentin Johnson, TCU, 13,900 was the stack price, and got him $231.9 per point, which is phenomenal. Good job for him picking up that stack. Quite the stack there. Walrus 67 came in second, and Cruz 244 came in third. Remember, Story won a koozie this week, and you can get your koozie. Sign up on our website, wwcfb.com. Get into the koozie sweepstakes and get into our DraftKings League and win, and then we'll ship one off to you. So good luck to everyone this week. We're playing the Saturday 12 game slate. Hopefully I'll get my koozie this week. Well, I'm waiting for mine. You got yours. Story's got his. I need mine, Wal.
Yeah, good luck, Wal. I think you might not get one this season. I mean, you better know a guy if you're going to get one. Or, I mean, like you said, you could just go to the website and sign up and get one for free. I'm guessing that's your best chance, Woj. That's your best chance.
I think so. All right, let's talk about last week's game. Games first, we had Iowa versus Iowa State. Well, man, back-to-back weeks where Iowa's made the opposing quarterback get sat. How about that, Wal?
That's something, man. That's something. It tells you something about the Iowa defense. And, you know, you listen out there. Hey, you know who gave them respect, Woj? And it does surprise me a little bit, but you know who gave them respect? The Poles, baby. Number five in the nation. How about that, Woj?
Hell yeah. Number five in the nation, Iowa Hawkeyes. That sounds good, Wal. It sounds good.
It does. And you know what? I hear like, oh, number five in the nation, yet they don't have any offense. Number five in the nation, yet, you know, they can't get any yards. Well, who gives a shit, Woj? It doesn't matter. You know what matters in college football is having more points on the scoreboard at the end of the game. That's what matters. If you do that every game of the season, you're a power five team. I mean, you're winning the national championship. So, you know, don't listen to all that rigmarole about how bad their offense is. One, it's not that bad, Woj. It's just their defense plays so well that sometimes their offense doesn't get a chance to drive down the field. So, I mean, Iowa's a great team to watch this year. We've been talking highly of them, obviously, and now it's justified with that five ranking.
Yeah, I mean, turnovers, well. Seven turnovers in two games. That's the key factor there. The defense is just on point. Their defensive line has played phenomenally. And I mean, they're just unstoppable. If you get that many turnovers, you're going to win games. You win a turnover battle like that. And, you know, Iowa State is probably one of the best offenses Iowa will play this year up until possibly the Big Ten championship game and then there on out. But they handled them pretty well. I mean, that's questionable. There's still some good defenses left in the Big Ten for them to play. But Iowa State is no joke offensively. We know that for sure. And they handled them really good. They had a good game plan. They went in there. They played Iowa football. And that's what's exciting about it. They're not scrambling, passing the ball over the top, doing things that don't make sense. They're playing Iowa football. They're running it. They're winning the game on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And that's why they're winning. I think that's why they're going to do well for the rest of the year. Now, another game where one team did not win at the line of scrimmage wall was Oregon versus Ohio State, and it wasn't Oregon, it was Ohio State. They failed to win at the line of scrimmage wall.
They did. This game really threw a lot of people off. I mean, it was exciting to watch. It was a good game, you know, in the first half. Second half, I mean, it wasn't such a good game because Oregon kind of controlled the, you know, I guess Ohio State had a chance throughout, but Oregon really controlled the second half. They came to play. Like you said up front, Oregon was a better team than Ohio State, no question about it.
I mean, they ran all over them. CJ Verdell just manhandled them. It was a clinic out there. So I looked at the overall offensive yards, which was 505 from Oregon. Now, other than the Alabama game last year in the playoffs, where Ohio State got romped, I think Alabama had 600 and some total yards in that game. Other than that game, I had to go back to Maryland on the 11-17-2018 to find a game where they gave up over 500 yards. And that was, again, to a running back, Anthony McFarland. I mean, that's a long time for their offense to not give up that many points. Their offense is not that good this year. They didn't look that great against Minnesota. Obviously, didn't look good versus Oregon. So we'll see if they can get that turned around and fixed up. But right now, people are going to score in Ohio State, so they better learn how to score back real quick with C.J. Verdell at the handle. Because even though he did look pretty good in the Minnesota game, where it looked like he made some good decisions, in that game versus Oregon, it looked like a chicken with his head caught off in some of his plays. Some of his read plays were just like he didn't know what to do before he got to the line of scrimmage. And you need to know what you're going to do before you get there. And it just looked like a rookie quarterback through and throughout. Wall.
You're talking about Stroud, Roach?
Yeah, CJ Stroud. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I assumed you're talking about Stroud. I just want to make sure I was following you. But yeah, I won't disagree, Woj. I mean, you said go back to 2018 for those yards. I mean, go back to 2018 since they've lost a regular season game. I mean, this is a really good team. That game, it threw everyone off. No one expected that to happen. I shouldn't say no one. There's some Ducks fans that expected they were going to win. But you know, no one expected outside of that organization that Ohio State was going to lose to this Oregon team. But, you know, Oregon showed up. It really speaks well for the Pac-12. This is, I mean, going to be their shining moment at the end of the year. If it comes down to are you in or you out, hey, Oregon went to Ohio State in the horseshoe, beat up on Ohio State, Woj. So that's something to hang your head on if you're the Ducks.
Big 12's trying to break into that playoff barrier wall. All right, let's talk about this year. Michigan State, who's 2-0, at number 24, Miami, who's 1-1, 11 a.m. on ABC. Miami just coming off that loss to Alabama, Wall.
Yeah, this is an interesting game to me. Michigan State +6.5, over under a 56.5 in this one. I mean, if you're taking Michigan State on the money line, you're getting 2-1 about +200, sitting +195. Probably, I'm hoping it moves a little bit more, Woj. We'd be talking about this game a lot more. This might even be one of my pick-ems if you're seeing a +7 up there, because Michigan State, you know, beginning of the year, not a team I thought was going to do very well, but they've come out. They got that goose egg, Woj. Only two games in, but they got that goose egg, 2-0 right now. They come in, they play that Miami team. If it wasn't on the road, you know, I'd take the 6.5, no question. Being on the road, let's see if we can get up to 7, and then maybe I jump on Michigan State here.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you because, I mean, Miami, obviously they lost that first game to Alabama, 13-44. Last week they beat Appalachian State in a tight one, 25-23. I think Michigan State is a better team than Appalachian State. Now, Appalachian State is no joke, a good team. But they're not Michigan State, and this is going to be a tough one for Miami. Yeah, Michigan State is the traveling team here, but Big Ten travels well. We've seen it in the past. Kenneth Walker is an all-star, is becoming an all-star on that team. He is what they needed for a long time. I remember when Connor Hayward was in his early years, was dominant, and this reminds me of that. And now Connor Hayward's kind of passing the torch here to Kenneth Walker. On DraftKings this week, he's 7,100. And if I was going to take anybody in this game, Miami spreads the ball out so much, I don't even want to touch it. But if I was going to take anybody in this game, I would take Kenneth Walker, because Michigan State's going to slow the tempo of this game down. They're going to make it on their terms. And I mean, he's the workhorse on their team. He's a good, solid contributor. He scored a 50 some points in DraftKings his first week, and last week I think he scored 30 something. So I mean, he's solid. Look for Kenneth Walker if you're going to go with a running back, especially at 7,100. He's not even the most expensive. Now, I think he can be one of those top-notch guys. There's another guy that I want to key in on a little bit later. Well, actually, in our next game, well, let's talk about that. Minnesota 1-1 at Colorado, who's 1-1, 12 p.m. on the Pac-12.
Yeah, Minnesota, and this one is +3. Over-under is 49-50, depending where you're looking right now. But Minnesota is only +115 on the money line. This is a spread in money line for that fact that it's been moving back and forth, back and forth. Minnesota was as low as I think I saw you know, them being the actual favorite at one point, and now they're, you know, getting a field goal, which is a big, big difference. So, you know, pick your spot if you want to bet this game either way. These teams, Woj, they haven't played since 1992. A lot of the stuff I've been reading is comparing their matchups, you know, and against the spread against each other. That's all garbage, Woj. It's useless. They haven't played since 1992. You want to take a game from 1992 and tell me that has some impact? Yeah. Was PJ Fleck even born in 1992, Woj? I don't know. The stuff I'm reading, it just makes no sense. Just throw that garbage out. It doesn't matter. You don't really know. You can't look against the spreads for these two teams. But the big story in this one is Ibrahim being out. He's out for the season, Woj. He's out for the
season.
Yeah,
that's rough. I feel bad for him because, I mean, he's such an impactful player and just such a good player in college football. I feel bad for him. That sucks that he's out, Wall.
Yeah, I hope the NCAA gives him another year of eligibility for, you know, the injury problem. He only played that one game, not even a full game. So, you know, we wish him well. He's a great running back. Again, I'm sorry for any fantasy owners that have him. Their season's down the drain, I guess. But the team in general, you know, they played Miami, Ohio last week. They didn't play so well, Minnesota, that is. 31-26, you know, it was questionable whether they're actually going to win the game. They ended up coming through with a W, which is what matters. And then we talked about Ohio State previously, and that's a question mark right now after getting, you know, beat up by those Ducks at home. How good was it that, you know, Minnesota was hanging in there with Ohio State? We don't know. I mean, as the season plays on, we'll find out. But on the other side of that, you know, you got Colorado. They're basically the opposite side of the coin, Woj. Last week, they played really well against Texas A&M. I don't know if you were getting alerts on your phone, but they kept being, hey, Texas A&M, upset alert. Were you getting those alerts, Woj?
I was. I also got the alert that Texas A&M All-Star quarterback wasn't in the game. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. I think that's Texas A&M scrambling with someone that they didn't really understand the offense as well behind the helm, Wall.
Yeah, I mean, King, you're talking about it, one guy being out doesn't matter. You can't, you know, you can't lose the game. Well, I'll move on, but, you know, then Colorado was – they crushed Northern Colorado the first game, which you can't really count that, Woj. So we don't know. The thing I will say is when I saw Minnesota at +2.5, saw them at +3, it really baffled me, Woj. It made me want to jump on Minnesota. I had to look into it a little more. I haven't done it yet, but, you know, I'll bet you by the end of the week I'll be jumping on Minnesota, hopefully +3.
I would like that too. I think Minnesota's got a really good shot here, and them getting three is phenomenal. I kind of want to jump on that right now. But DFS tip of the week for this week here, Wall. DFS tip of the week: avoid Colorado players in DFS. Simple as that, Wall. They spread the ball out an absolute shit ton amongst receivers. And on top of that, Broussard has not performed as well as he has in the past. I would stick away from it. Their defense is actually playing fairly solid. But this is kind of weird. Tyson Potts is the kind of running back I'm talking about other than Kenneth Walker to take. He is the backup, essentially, for Minnesota, who is now the lead workhorse, and he's only 7,300 on DraftKings this week. 34 attempts last week for him, so nothing's changed. He's still getting the same amount of load that Ibrahim would have gotten. They're just packing it on him. Let him take the ball. 34 attempts. So, you know, here's the thing. CJ Spiller got 19.6 points last week against Colorado in that game. I think he had 133 yards and a TD, if I'm remembering right, or maybe he didn't get a TD in that game. But I think Potts is just going to get a lot more workload than Spiller did, and he's going to roll. Colorado's essentially just going to get broken down in the second half. I just see Minnesota being able to manhandle this. I see, it's not Tyson, it's Trayson Potts. From Minnesota being that guy that they're going to go to the rest of the season. This is his breakout game again. 34 attempts. I'm looking upwards of 35 points from him this week, and Minnesota takes down Colorado. Well, we finally get a little revenge back in the Pac-12 here, other than that Washington-Michigan game. We're going to go to their territory and beat them up. Well,
hey, I'm glad you brought up that Washington-Michigan game, Woj, because there are some people on this there's some people on this podcast. Let me tell you, they are big Washington fans. You know, they didn't like the Big Ten. I won't mention names. You know, it was 50% of our podcast, though. And they were all over Washington. I was all over Michigan, Wojnarowski. Just in case somebody missed the game, could you let me know who won and won quite handily in that one?
For the record, I did not bet that game. And in the podcast, I also mentioned I probably would not bet that game. But yes, that was me. I was thinking Wisconsin would come in. I was just afraid of being hardballed, Wall. And I know you know what that means. I was afraid of being hardballed. And listen, he coached a decent game that game. I'll give it to him. But, yeah. You know, I want to backtrack a little bit here to that Oregon-Ohio State game. What was the coaching in that game by Ryan Day? He's not kicking field goals all first half, and those field goals eventually led to their demise. I mean, possibly not. I mean, their defense played terrible, but those field goals add up, Wall. And I don't know if they just have a bad kicker or whatnot, but what was Ryan Day doing? That's just my little side thought. You can fill in later if you want. But, yeah, I didn't get hardballed. He didn't hardball the team. Michigan won. They actually look pretty good this year. McNamara looks like he's a decent quarterback, so go Michigan. Go blue.
Go blue.
All right. Now, I'm not a big fan of Roll Tide, but Alabama's our next team here. Number one, Alabama, 2-0. At number 11, Florida, 2-0, 2:30 p.m. on CBS. We got a little SEC action here, Wal.
We sure do, Woj, and I'm not a big Roll Tide guy either. I used to be a big Chop fan, you know, back in the day when Mr. Spurrier and his visor – you know, the old ball coach was running that team. Yeah. You know, I loved them back then. I was a big Florida fan. Now, you know, kind of shy away from the SEC a little bit.
A little different of a team, isn't it, Wal?
Well, yeah, it's quite a bit different of the team, although I did see a little bit of flash of Mr. Tebow back there from Emory Jones last game. But in this game specifically, they got a much tougher competition. They're playing Alabama, the best team in the nation right now. Alabama's giving them 14, over under 58. Plus 470. Let me say that again. Plus 470 if you want to take Bama to lose. Don't get me wrong. I don't bet against Bama. I don't bet against Clemson. I just don't bet against good teams. But if you want to take your shot, man, that's some good money for pretty comparable teams right here. This is going to be the Alabama's first test, really. You know, it comes on the road in the swamp.
It is, and I'm just looking at 470. It's just kind of weird, isn't it? With a 14-point, a 2-touchdown spread, but 470. I mean, they're really Vegas is really sticking to Alabama here, but they're keeping it tight. It's kind of weird on that plus 14 spread, Wall.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're making people, if you're going to bet Bama, you're going to bet them on the spread because you can't afford to bet the other side of that in the 500s, minus 500, you know, putting out one, five to make one. They're just forcing people to bet Bama on the spread rather than the money line, which I kind of get it. It is a little high for, you know, that kind of spread, but hey. If you're like in Florida, that 470 is sexy, baby.
You know what I wish Florida would do, Will? I wish they would just let Emory Jones play the whole entire goddamn game. I'm sick of them swapping in and out Richardson and him. And Richardson was questionable, but it looks like he's been practicing with the first string. So he'll be back into that dual quarterback thing they got going on over there, whatever it is. But I wish they would just stick to one way and one way to do it and just go with it. Because I think Florida's not a bad team. Even with pick Jones or Richardson. I like Jones better, but you pick one of the two. I think they're good with both of them. I think they're better with Emory Jones, but they have two really good running backs. They have some good wide receivers that have been there. They have a good tight end that's been there for a while. They have a decent offense. Just go with it, Wal.
Well, I mean, I'm going to push back. And the reason I want to push back, first I will preface it by saying, yeah, they got some receivers. Copeland back there, man, he's a monster. He's a beast. Doesn't matter who's throwing the ball. You know, won't you go out there and throw this guy the ball? He gets some touchdowns for you. But, you know, I know you're a big stat guy, Woj, because you're a DraftKings guy. So you're a stat guy. If you look at the line stats on these guys, you know, Emory Jones is getting the bulk of the passes. Like you said, they switch him in and out, but he's getting the bulk of the passes. He's had 31 attempts to Anthony Richardson's 6, Woj. Let me tell you how many yards Emory Jones has, 264. Mr. Richardson, he has 192. And I mean, that's quite a difference in the number of attempts. You want to talk about touchdowns, they both got 2, which, you know, do you really count touchdowns this early in the season? Who knows? Depends who's in there. But let's count interceptions, Woj. And this is where it's key. Jones has 4 interceptions. Obviously, more attempts gives him more. But Richardson hasn't thrown an interception yet once this year. He has the same amount of touchdowns. So I will push back a little bit. I think Richardson is just as good as, you know, Emory Jones possibly. And I have Emory Jones on my fantasy team. So that's somebody talking about with Emory Jones on their fantasy team, Woj.
Well, I got Malik Davis on my fantasy team, and I want Richardson to stop taking my carries away from Malik Davis. So
there's where it comes in. Now it makes more sense.
All right. But anyways, as far as DraftKings goes in this game, where we'll just continue on, don't bet against Bama because that's just a bad play in DFS. And I just don't know who to take on Bama. Wall. I don't know who's good yet. They haven't really put that, you know, that. They haven't gotten that playoff mode, I guess I'll preface it as is. They haven't put those guys that they're going to rely on every single week in tough games out there for every play. Does Robinson turn into, does he put the Puma on? Does he turn Puma mode on? Like we talked about him being that Puma. Does he turn the Puma mode on and just go crazy? Who knows? It's 6,400 this week on DraftKings. Maybe. Good tournament play, possibly. Does Mechie start producing like Devontae Smith numbers? Another 7,100. He's not even that price that high. But, I mean, these are guys you're going to have to question. You know, the one guy I'm really going to watch out for is, you know, they always had the Devontae Robinson, but they've always had dual, you know, wide receivers that they've been able to rely on that are five stars and solid. You know, Jameson Williams is going to be, I think, their next good wide receiver. It's getting 16.4% of the targets, which is second most behind Mechie's 19.2. And he's done just as much as Mechie's had with those targets. He's actually producing more fantasy points per game than Mechie at the moment. And he's a lot cheaper. He's only 6,700 this week to Mechie's 71. Yeah, it's a dart throw, but this is a tournament play only kind of game for me, where I'm picking people on different teams that are a Malik Davis or a Pierce or an Emory Jones or a Richardson, or even like you talked Copeland, or I'm picking Young, Amechi, Robinson, Williams. I mean, these are all literally dart throws that I'm throwing at a board to maybe hit in a tournament mode. I'm not taking any action as far as cash games go in this game. Well,
makes sense, Woj. I'll leave that to you, buddy. I'll leave that to you. What I am looking forward to is watching this game, though, because I want to see how Bama reacts to this Florida team. Again, this is their first real test, and it comes in a tough situation on the road in the swamp. Hey, let's see what these two teams can do. Also, I'm looking forward to this game to see about Georgia later against Florida. Woo, doggy, that's going to be a good one if it comes to fruition. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Got my ruffles ready. Got my beer ready, Woj.
The ruffles are ready. I like it. Well, Mississippi State 2-0 at Memphis, 2-0, 3 p.m. ESPN2. Wall.
Well, this one's not on the DraftKings slate, I'm guessing.
This one is not. Or I'd have Mississippi State players for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is, oh, my goodness, what? This is a barn burner. Yeah,
Memphis players, three, too.
Right here, Memphis plus 3.5, Woj. Over under is 63.5. Memphis plus 150. Hey, let's hammer that over. I mean, by the time you guys are listening to this, it might not be 63.5 anymore. But this game, I was looking through it. I was watching Memphis's last game. They were playing Arkansas State. I did catch a few glimpses of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, unfortunately. But I'm looking back at the stats, you know, researching it. It showed that Arkansas State had 680 yards, Woj, against Memphis last week. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, so that, you know, 680 yards, that's not right. Like, so I had to look at a different source, look at another source. Sure enough, 680 yards Memphis gave up against Arkansas State last week, Woj. Can you believe that?
I mean, so I don't know if any of you have watched the SEC shorts on YouTube, but they're pretty funny. It's a good YouTube channel. You should check it out if not. But they always run these clips about Mississippi State, and they have one guy that plays defense and one guy that plays offense, and they're trying to get the girl, and the girl always picks the offense, and it's the absolute funniest thing ever. But that's all it is. It's just offense. Well, we're throwing the ball, we're slinging it, we're five wide, we're going all over the place. We'll put a running back in there, but guess what? We're just going to throw him to him. Ha ha. And then he's going to run for a touchdown. It's great. I love it. There's so many plays per game. This game's going to this could be a 100-point spread, Wall. This or over under. It should be. It could be a 50-50 game, Wall.
Oh, it could be huge, Woj. And obviously, you're talking about the other side of the court with Mississippi State because, they put up points too. And I was talking about Arkansas State, Memphis' defense not doing well. If you look at that stat line, you want to know how many yards Memphis had last week in that Arkansas State game, Woj? They had 680, same amount of yards. I mean, Jesus Christ, let's bet the over on this one. Let's see if we can get it to 100. We'll probably get to 120. I'll take an alt on 120. What do you think?
That's like how many yards Iowa gives up in a season, Wall. And this is like one game these guys are going at. This is crazy. I love it, dude. It just balls out offense here, Wall. It's crazy. Yep. If you like offense, ESPN watch two. That game.
3 p.m. ESPN2 look.
All right, we got USC 1-1 at Washington State 1-1, 2:30 p.m. on Fox. Well, what are your thoughts in this game? Well, where are you going with this?
My thoughts are, well, this is all your game, man. I don't want anything to do with this game. You got Washington State plus 8.5 over under a 62. I don't know. Let me tell you right off the bat, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. I don't know if you caught the USC game, Woj, last week, but this is what happened the first play. And normally when you're talking first play, you're talking first play of scrimmage. No, no, no. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kickoff where the kicker got a targeting penalty and kicked out of the game on the opening kickoff. Hey, did you see that
kicker, man. He's taking it to him. He's ready to go. He's amped up, Wall.
Yeah, he wasn't running the other way, let me tell you. Although it was a little bit of a weak targeting penalty. But nonetheless, it was like foreshadowing for the rest of the game. USC just – I mean, they got trounced by a Stanford team that really had no business, you know, beating them in general, rather alone trouncing them. So I found it hilarious on that kickoff that he got that targeting penalty. Later in the week, Woj, they fired Clay Helton. They got him out of town real quick after that loss. They saw things going downhill.
Yeah, here's the funny thing about that, Wall, is the interim head coach is Deontay Williams, who is in charge of a majority of the offense or defense. Which is he's in charge. He's like the secondary coach and I think the line coach of some sort. It wasn't their offense that's the problem. Their defense is absolutely pathetic. There's so many penalties. There's so many bad plays given up. I mean, and now this guy essentially gets a promotion while he's the head coach now.
That's crazy. I mean, if you ask me, I think they should make the special teams coordinator the head coach.
He's got his kicker
playing hard, man.
Hey, listen, this is a big game, though, Wall, for DFS. So there's two games this week I'm going to key in on. One we're not going to talk about tonight, but that's Virginia Tech at West Virginia. That's one of them. And then USC at Washington State. And the reason I'm saying this is because of implied points for one. Implied points for USC is 32.25, Washington's 26.75. So lots of points scored. We know these offenses, we know how they play. But both of these offenses are giving up an extraordinary amount of plays per game, and that equals fantasy points. Plays per game equals the amount that your offense is out there or your guys and your team are out there scoring points. And I don't think the game plan is going to change much with Deontay Williams since he's not an offensive guy. It's going to continue to stay the same, and I think their defense is essentially going to stay the same, so it's going to be shitty. Washington State likes to run a lot of plays. USC likes to run a plays. That's why I'm keen into this game. So this year so far, 72.5 plays per game for USC, ended 2020 with 74.5. So they're just a little bit behind where they ended last year. I expect that to get up. Washington State's given up 79.5 plays per game this year, and they did a lot of the same last year. Combined, these teams have given up 539.5 yards per game in the air, Wall. That's on average. That's not good.
That's
pathetic, Wall. It's pathetic. So let's key in on it. Let's talk about some guys. We got Keaton Solvis, the quarterback for USC. He's 7,200, which is not bottom of the barrel, but it's not the cheapest guy. It's not the most expensive. It's kind of right in the middle. Solvis has played okay, 65% completion, 3 TDs, 489 yards in his first two games. He hasn't had a breakout game yet because he hasn't had those multiple, big touchdown games. But he's a good cash game option. You can sprinkle just a little couple sprinkles on the cupcake there for a tournament play because he has a high ceiling. He's shown it before, and I think he can pop off. So good cash game option, especially at 7,200. And, You know, just get a little couple of those sprinkles in there for the tournament play. One guy that can pop off in their team is Drake London, the wide receiver from USC. Is at 7,900. He's at 26 targets in two games. Well, that's a lot of targets if we're talking DFS. So one of those guys that can give you a lot of points because he's getting a lot of action out in the field. One guy I want to key in on, though, for the wide receiver for USC is Tajay Washington. He's only 5,000. So he's already 2,900 cheaper than London, and it'll just help you fit in more lineups. So for instance, let's just talk about this on a big average here. So he's 2,900 cheaper than London, but on average on the year per fantasy points, that amount that you're going to have to catch up to that 7,900, London is only getting $299 per point. So it's not better going with London in that fact. There's a lot of statistics out there that say take one of the better quarterbacks and then pair him with their second best wide receiver. And this is one of those perfect examples. In college, it's a little harder because sometimes there's a bigger disparity in targets percentage, but these guys are pretty close. And Washington's done a lot with what he's gotten, and he's consistent. So take Washington here and Solvis if you're going to go USC. Now, on the other side of this, you have Jaden DeLorea, the quarterback for Washington State that stepped in and has done an excellent job. He's only 7,400 on DraftKings. So, again, not crazy expensive, not crazy cheap. I think a lot of these players are undervalued for what the game could possibly be. 10.4 yards per attempt. That's huge. Double-digit numbers is great for that number. Four TDs last week, and he had one on the ground too, which is, again, we talk about that in DraftKings, getting those points from the ground. That's 6 points instead of four per passing touchdown. Let's talk about his wide receivers now. You got Calvin Jackson at 4,900 Travell Harris at 5,500. Now, obviously, you have the cheap one and the more expensive one. It's really a toss-up. I'm going to go with the cheaper option here. It's 50-50. They both have about the same amount of points, the same amount of targets. I'm just going to go with Jackson because he's actually had one more touchdown than Harris. So that's 4,900. It's a little cheaper. So let's talk about this. We got Solvis Washington at 12,200. We have Delera and Jackson at 12,300. That's 24,500 for the full game stack. And that fits into any cash game or any tournament you're going to run, because I think they can all pop off and it fits into a cash game perfectly because they're consistent points. So that's a really good game stack if you're going to take a game stack wall. And you still have room left over for some big names around some other big key games wall, including that Virginia Tech West Virginia game.
Well, that makes sense to me. I like the stacks. Especially the triple stacks. I'm a big fan of the triple stack, Woj.
That's like a quad stack.
I know. It's too many stacks for me, Woj. I'd rather get two triples, you know. Go to Wendy's, get two triples. They don't even have a quad. Why? You know, just get two triples. But I left this game to you. For those Pac-12 fans out there, a game you want to watch is Arizona State at BYU, I think. That's a more important game for the Pac-12. You know, they really need Arizona State, one of their better teams, to beat BYU. They don't want to get rolled by that BYU team. But if I'm talking to my Pac-12 fans, that's the game I'm telling them to watch rather than the USC one.
All right, well, we got one game left, and it's a doozy. You got number 22, Auburn, 2-0, heading to number 10, Penn State, who's 2-0, 6:30 p.m. ABC. Get ready for the whiteout, Wall.
Yeah, it's going to be a whiteout for sure. What is that, Zombie Nation they play at the kickoff, Walsh? I love that Zombie Nation. You know, everybody's got their thing. Zombie Nation. We got jump around over there at Wisconsin, you know, back in the black here, Hawkeyes. That's why I love the Big Ten football. We all got those things. But this game, it's going to be, like you said, a whiteout. They're going to be playing that Zombie Nation at kickoff. It's going to get real loud. It's going to be really exciting. Auburn plus 6.5, depending where you're looking. I don't know if they get to that 7. They might. Well, as of now, over under a 53. Auburn is plus 190 on DraftKings in this one, Woj. This is a game we talked about preseason too, one of the big ones. I don't know if you recall, was that story we were talking to about with this one?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, this, and we were talking about the jump around, you know, the whiteout, I should say. And man, it's going to come to fruition, Woj. You just turn in your TVs to ABC at 6:30 p.m. on Saturday. You're going to see what we're talking about. You know, Penn State's claim to fame in this one, they beat Wisconsin week one, Woj. They beat them, and they beat them pretty good, I will say, you know. They beat them pretty good, but the question mark now is how good was that Wisconsin team? Well, we're probably going to find out depending on how well Penn State does against Auburn. Auburn, they don't really have a claim to fame yet. You know, big blowouts against Akron and Alabama State, Woj, but, you know, what does that say? That's not a Wisconsin team, right? You know, I don't know what that says, but Penn State's going to be ready for this one. I'm excited for it. You know, if it got to seven, there's no way I'm taking Penn State, but as it sits now under seven, yeah, maybe I take that home team. You know, I might throw a little money on them.
I like the home team as well, Walt. I mean, Penn State is just a hard place to go play in, especially in a whiteout situation like that. Auburn really essentially isn't tested yet, whereas Penn State is tested and they've completed the test, right? I mean, they've gotten past a Wisconsin team that isn't that bad, Walt. And I just like Penn State's chances in this. They look like a better team. I talked about that in our season preview as well. They have better weapons, and they're a more consistent team, I think, this year than they have been in years past. I think Noah Kane is stepping up into that role at running back that they needed, and he's doing a good job of it. So I like Penn State in this game. Six is, again, a tall order against an SEC school of like Auburn, but I mean, it's going to be tough for Bo Nix to go in there and complete some passes in a whiteout situation like that. Penn State really does have the extra guy there because of the fans and in the field and that atmosphere. And can't wait to watch the game. It's going to be exciting.
Agreed, Woj. I'm right there with you.
All right. Well, last week you had Oklahoma State in the over at 51. That was a straight push. I actually lost that bet because I took a free bet on DraftKings at 51.5, unfortunately.
Killed by the hook, Woj. That hook will get
killed
you,
by the hook there. But listen, I won my bet with Pittsburgh -3. That was a win. So I go to 2-0. You go to 1-0-1. Wal, who are you taking this week to get you back to that 2-0-1 mark?
Oh, God, I hate to admit to listen to that hockey record all year long. And I will. I mean, I love hockey, don't get me wrong, but I hate seeing that tie. You know, it makes me angry. I'm going to have to get a win this week, Woj. You know, I wanted to take, we were talking about before, I want to take Toledo at -14, but by the time our show went off, they were -14.5, which is a big difference, Woj. I still like Toledo. I still might take them, but I had to switch around my pick 'em a little bit. I'm taking Virginia Tech +3, which might surprise some people.
I like it. I like it. Well, I'm going to the coast, and I'm taking Coastal Carolina -14 over Buffalo. Buffalo played a awful competition first week, got up really high, 63 to something as far as points. They have high plays per game, which is like 80 or something like that. They go and play Nebraska and get dominated. They score 3 points, and I'm just going to say this right outright, even being a Big Ten fan, Coastal Carolina is better than Nebraska. Coastal Carolina went to Kansas last week and dominated them. Coastal Carolina is going to essentially destroy Buffalo, and it's 14 is just nothing. Well, it's probably going to be double that in my mind, so I'm taking Coastal Carolina -14.
Yeah, I mean, Coastal Carolina went and destroyed Kansas. I mean, what are you going to say next? Oh, they went and destroyed UMass? They went and destroyed Connecticut? I mean, what kind of talking point is that, Woj? I might take the other side of this one. I'm excited you took Coastal Carolina because I respect that Buffalo team. So, hey, maybe you and I can do a little heads up. We'll keep the juice out.
Hey, listen, you're going to respect the team that just only scored 3 points versus Scott Frost coach team?
Woj, hey, let's right here. I'll take your money. You want to put your money in my pocket? I'll put it in there for you. Just let me know.
All right, I'm up. Coastal Carolina -14. I'm taking it, Wal.
Excellent.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram's college_football_rundown. Our website, which you can get all our podcast information and contact me and Kyle on, is collegefootballrundown.com. Thanks again for listening, everybody. I'm Woj.
I'm Walt.
And this was the College Football Rundown. We're out.